Welcome to the first of a brand new mini series. We've called it the Iconic 11. Premise is pretty simple. We ask contributors, co-hosts, debutantes, if you like, further down the line, to come on and talk about their iconic Reading 11 from players they've watched historically, from players they have affinity with. They might not be everyone's choice, but that's the whole point in terms of generating discussion. And I hope that people listening will get something out of it. And, as always, if you agree, disagree, let us know. You'll hear by the kind of the yes and the whoops and the go-ons in the background that I'm joined by co-host Ross Webber to kick off the series. I don't know what he's going to say. He said, do you want to know? And I said, absolutely not. So this is a surprise to me. I think it's really important to say as well, Ross, that although we've between us, we come up with some good ideas, this wasn't our idea originally, was it?
No, it wasn't. No. So this came from Ryan Jeffress ages ago. Clearly he was desperate for the season to end because he pitched this back in February or something like that. And I said, that is a great idea. And we'll do that when we don't have a football team that's potentially going to be relegated to talk about. We now have a football team that has stayed in its league. So let's talk about some fun memories to go along with that. So like you said, Iconic 11. And the idea here is to pick players that we love, that we have fond memories of, more than quality. Obviously, quality is going to feature here because that's part of what we like about our favorite players, you know, that they were really good. Lewis Wing has just won the player of the season. So enough said about that, really. But do you know what's funny? When we started asking everyone about what kind of fish they wanted to be, and that became like an anthropological question, I thought this seems even more interesting because why people pick certain players is interesting to me. So I'm going to shut up and then soon I'm going to take you through my 11.
Well, do you know what? There was a thing a couple of months ago where this guy just chose an 11 from the animal kingdom. And honestly, it was one of the most non-Reading FC things on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, that I'd given headspace to. And I was I literally had a notepad and I was writing out, first of all the animals I think could do it. It was ridiculous. But if I get time, I'll try and sort of find it and repost it because it was good fun. But before
we'll do
Reading
Fish 11.
Yeah, exactly. Reading Fish 11. Yeah, what can you find in the Thames? Basically. But before we do that, massive thanks as always to ZC Said Films, who have sponsored this series. They don't know it. They're just an umbrella sponsor. Yeah. So, thank you very much for doing that unofficially and officially, if there's such a thing. Ross, we're going to talk about your team. So let's do that after this short break.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Right, Ross, do you want to share the formation, first of all, or not?
Yes, definitely. So I am fully influenced by Ruben Ball. Or Sellers Ball, Sellers Soccer, whatever you want to call it.
Soccer's good. I like that.
There you go. Yeah, Sellers Soccer. I like that. So I'll be using a sort of 4-2-3-1, 4-1-4-1, whatever you want to call it. But however you want to use it, it's sort of a 4-3-3. It's got three central midfielders. It's got three forwards, with two of those forwards being wide forwards.
And I guess as a geeky question, did you pick the formation and then go, I'm going to pick players to play that formation? Or did you just go, these are my favorite players, and organically they just fall into this formation?
No, it's funny. Like you, it's really funny you mention that because I put the initial list of players together and then found that they had fit nicely into this system. Okay. And my brain's full of this system right now. It's what it's what Ruben does. It's what I coach with my boys. Like, so it's just my brain wouldn't let me get that out of my head. It basically picked a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-1-4-1 for me. And then I work back from there, I would say. That's a good question.
Okay. Well, I try. I do try and ask the big questions. Right. Okay. Well, let's start with GK, the net tender. Who have you got?
I've gone for the only ex-Reading player to ever win a World Cup. And that would, of course, be Emiliano Martinez. Joined the Royals under Jose Gomez. And that is, listeners, the shirt I've gone with today. Quite a few of these players had a role to play in that particular era. And that's the era that I kind of got really back into Reading again, got into the Tarhurst End and all those kinds of things. So it sits as quite an important era in my mind. Emmy and his legacy with Reading are as much for me about what he's done since than what he did in a Reading shirt. But he was also really important in a Reading shirt in that second half of the season where we stayed up under Jose Gomez. Obviously came in with a bunch of other loanees and put in some magnificent performances. My favorite, the 0-0 against West Brom that saw us mathematically secure that day. That was just a really great performance where everyone else was clearly second best and Emmy was not. And so those are just many performances, or one of many performances that we saw from Emmy that was just fantastic. But really, I mean, yes, he still talks about Reading in great in glowing circumstances when he's asked, and he really gave his all for that little period. But he's just a legend now, isn't he? I mean, he is the goalkeeper that my like youth players are most excited about and most invested in. They think he's brilliant. That sort of like walk that he'll do, the Conor McGregor walk away from like penalties and things like that, I see that replicated all the time by youth players and things like that. So we need characters in football, and Emmy's a character.
You know, with the World Cup final, just looking at Reading FC Twitter and just, you know, the amount of people kind of commenting on just Martinez from our fan base. And yeah, I guess, look, you can't deny that he wasn't good for us. He was absolutely fantastic in that period of time. And, you know, it was a masterstroke from Gomez and his team getting him in. You know, I know we're not talking about managers, but I was a really big fan of Gomez as a manager. I really liked him and I think he had some really interesting ideas, but, you know, probably wasn't the club for him long term, as it proved. But bringing Martinez in, you know, undoubtedly was one of the main reasons we stayed up that year.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the best transfer windows for Reading ever. Just a great goalkeeper.
Okay, so let's move to the back four. So what do you want to start? Do you want to start right or left?
Do you want me to give you the whole rundown and then you can go, we'll go through them one by one. All right. So left to right. Left to right. Cause these are going to get funnier for you as they go. Jordan Obita at left back. I think that one's pretty standard. I think a lot of people would have had that. Really fun player and great on FIFA while I was a teenager. And then, at center back, hey Ben, can you guess who I've got at left center back for my favorite, my iconic 11? Any guesses there?
I feel like it might be Tyler Bindon.
Oh, it might be Tyler Bindon, and it is Tyler Bindon at left center back. And everyone else has gotten lots of notes under them where I've written down bits of, and I've just written my boy for Tyler Bindon. There's no notes. There's just vibes with him.
We don't need to explain that one. Anyone who's listened to the pod this season, it doesn't need any explanation whatsoever.
This is why I said, why bother? I'm not going to go through them one by one. Yeah, you know, true. Like I'll just tell you and you can see who you want to focus on in a second. This is where it gets funny. Remember, guys, iconic 11. It's a favorites 11. It's personal choice. I've gone for Matt Miazga at right center back. love him. And again, there's some fun stuff that happened after that we can go into.
Are you ready for it to get even better? Right back for this Weber Reading 11, I've got Tomas Estevez, which...
who looks
so
like
where would you like to because start?
Tomas Estevez looks like you, or rather you look like Tomas Estevez. So maybe there's, that's why.
Yeah, this is something... Well, actually, real quick, man, that's something I've shared with the boys before, is that, you know, let's just look at Tomas Estevez, other favorite players of Ross, Marcel Sabitzer and Jackson Irvine. If you've seen my side profile and you've seen their side profile, you might be able to work out why I like those players. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm not going to do? I don't want to talk about Abita because, spoiler, he's also in my team.
Yeah. So let's leave him out. And so I think he'll feature for others as well.
I heartily endorse Abita.
Yep.
I don't want to talk about Binden because...
No, we've done that.
We've done that on every pod this season.
I've done that so many times, and I'm going to do it more soon. So leave Binden out. So Abita and Binden, love them. That's all we need to say about them.
let's talk a little bit about Tomas Estevez, because for me, there was unfulfilled potential there, but also it was you know, short and sweet in terms of his stint in Berkshire. Why? You know, without diminishing anyone else's potential teams that are going to come on this kind of iconic 11 mini series, the amount of available right backs that you could have had, why have you chosen Tomas Estevez over those, which we won't?
Yeah, which is fair, because there were times when Tomas Estevez wasn't getting picked over Tom Holmes at right back that season. So Tomas Estevez, I believe, lone player the first season under Veljko Paunovic, probably the last pretty positive championship season that Reading had before they went down. So there's some just like general, you know, good memories tied up with that, more so in the first half of the season than the back half. I just remember that was a time when, outside of Yiadom, Reading couldn't really work out the right back spot. And I think they had exiled Chris Gunter not that much earlier than that, maybe a season before too. So they were having trouble filling that. And Estevez came in from Porto, I believe, just a lanky teenager. He looks like a towel that's been draped on a coat hanger, like in terms of his skeleton.
Was the towel wet or was it dry?
Wet. Or is it, because he always has that sort of like wet, oily sort of hair about it.
But I was going to say that. Yeah.
Do you know the main thing that got me there? I just remember really celebrating when he scored, and I can't even remember who he scored against. But like he actually managed to like pop up in the same spot that he had been popping up all season, and then he scored, and it just made me happy. It just made me laugh at the time. I mean, I think that, I don't know, just like another player that we got to see develop a little bit as the season went on. But really, funny stuff just sort of happened when the ball was around him, and a lot towards the end of the season, Reading could be just sort of like going from one side to the other, trying to break down a low block and not doing much, and it would be very prescriptive and quite obvious football to watch. But whenever the ball went to Estevez, something good wasn't necessarily going to happen, but something interesting usually happened, because he was just very raw at that time. So yeah. Interesting.
It's funny, isn't it? You have those players that you root for, that you just you just want. You know, obviously, you know, technically root for every player that goes out on the field for Reading. You know, I guess like a lot of other people, I want them to succeed and do the best they can. But I always felt like that with Manse, in terms of like, you know, when he was on the board, I just wanted him to score, because I was like, you know, you just love those players, and there's no real rhyme or reason to it. So you've gone Estevez, and then Miazga. Let's talk a little bit about him, because he was a good player. You know,
he was
serious acquisition for us at the time on loan. You know, he was one of those, a victim. You know, I say that loosely, in terms of stockpiling from Chelsea, the amount of players that they had. You know, he was of that particular era where they just had a lot of players and they didn't know what to do with. And they ended up, you know, going everywhere other than Stamford Bridge to play football for the club that they were contracted to. So
normally somewhere in the Netherlands.
Yeah, exactly. You know, why have you, apart from the fact he's American, why have you gone for
him? That's certainly part of it, because I bumped Convy out of my team just
just. Okay. And so like getting an American in there was important to me. I think that Miazga was one of the, like you said, serious acquisition, good pickup. I think that he was one of the last players that we took in that sort of thing where I said, oh, this guy's a good player, he's going to be great. We've heard that a lot about players and then it hasn't worked out, from Shani Aluko all the way down to Harley Dean. Honestly, the list is long. And yet, I would say Miazga did work out. He played in lots of different center back pairings and was normally the more senior member. And it's shown, you know, in his career since he's gone on to do pretty well. He plays, he's the captain for Cincinnati in the MLS. They just won the regular season league over here as well. So, I mean, he's just a decent player. There was that particular goal, I think, when we had just gotten in Bowen as manager after Jose Gomez had gone, and the atmosphere around the club was pretty poor. I believe it was either against Millwall or Preston. One of those sort of, you know, existential crisis, yeah, yeah, middling championship clubs. He scored a really important goal at the end of that. And he was always just passionate. I like players that are passionate. I think that I used to like players that would really get around the pitch a lot. Richard Chaplow at Southampton. J-Tab for Reading would be a good example of one of these old school players who would just run up and down all game, and those have sort of gone by the wayside a little bit, but players that play with passion are very much still a thing, and that's Miazga. Sometimes too much passion, last thing I'll say on him. I do remember he got himself sent off one point for Reading, potentially from the bench, but since he left in the playoffs for Cincinnati last year, he got himself into a little dispute with the referees through that game, dispute that he was not willing to end when the match ended. So the MLS alleges that he tried to make his way to the referees' room after that, which is quite an interesting turn of events. So anyway, Matt Miazga, very passionate, sometimes too passionate, but a quality center back.
He got sent off for... He was on the pit. He got sent off for fighting, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Was it one of the last games of the season?
I think you might be right. Yeah, he was. It a quick fuse, I would say, a very quick fuse. And he's had some. It has been reported that he's had some disputes with the American national team, which is why he doesn't play for them currently. Because Tim Ream starts for them at centre back still. Who he's a good player. Obviously, plays for Fulham. And they have Walker Zimmerman, the Nashville center back, who is a very good center back by MLS standards. But Miazga is right up there, and he's hardly started for the US in the last 5 years. And part of that is reported to be due to his fuse and being a little bit short, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, it was. I've just Googled it.
27th
of June, 2020. Jeez. Goodness me, what were you doing different on the 27th world. Of June 2020? Anyway, him and Tom Lawrence.
They
had a fight after the game at Derby County and they both got sent off. That was after the final whistle. So yeah, I was right, but it was a proper fight. It wasn't just pushing, it was like
fists. Well, I'll be keeping a close eye on him, but Matt Miazga can still be in the team.
Okay, so short fuse aside, he's in for you.
Let's
talk about midfield then. So you've gone, well, you've got three in there.
It's 4-2-3-1. Three center mids. That's the important thing here. So what I've gone for, and again, I think there's going to be probably one here that's going to catch your eye. I've gone for a sort of three center mid of Cem Karaçan. Just no explanation needed, but I will if needed, you know. John Swift. Lewis Wing's been a great player this year, and I like Lewis Wing a lot, and put some respect on John Swift's name has been some of what I've been thinking about with some of the Lewis Wing commentary this year, just because
Lewis Wing has been playing amazingly. I just think that we've seen it recently as well, like similar play from John Swift. And he's not as defensively astute as Lewis Wing, obviously, but maybe just a little bit more creatively gifted to make up for it. And the original, you know, the OG from this period in terms of Thunder Bastard hitting. Just hit some insane goals, John Swift, and really one of my favorite Reading players ever. I can't say enough about Swift. So instead, let's talk about my other pick at center mid. I've gone for Seol Ki-hyun from what he managed one season, two seasons with Reading in the Premier League, I believe. Yeah, and
really, really great underrated player. You know,
great player.
I mean, you know, unless you use this clip online, people won't see my eyebrows raised, but that was like a proper, yeah, that's mm-hmm, a good mm-hmm. pick.
Came out of a really good era.
Karachan, I get. John Swift, I get. I mean, Karachan for me, yeah, I get why a lot of the kind of the younger generation of fan base liked him. I think it's difficult because he followed Harper and Sidwell in terms of trying to cement and really solidify that centre midfield in our team. And when I say followed, I don't mean like literally straight after, but like the next generation of central midfielders.
No, you're definitely right. I would agree. That's how I perceived him, Ben, I would say. Like I perceived him at like the 106 team and the Premier League team were sort of like the team of my childhood or whatever. And then I became a teenager and Karachan's team kind of became my team. And at the same time, I was kind of not good enough to play football really anymore. But I could still run around all day. So a player like Karachan really appealed to me because he was a guy that seemed to earn his place in the team every week with his legs.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I really want to have a discussion about Seol Ki-hyun. I mean, he was a premium player. He was absolutely fantastic. And what, you know, rightly or wrongly, as is the way with football, and this was kind of starting to break through at that time, he did an awful lot internationally for the football club as well, in terms of the, you know, obviously the South Korea market, but the Asian market in general. You know, I remember turning up to games when he was playing and there was a lot of kind of Asian fans and tourists coming to the ground, you know, and there was a huge interest in kind of the Asian network TV in terms of him playing, because he wasn't, you know, he was one of very few in terms of those Asian players playing in the Premier League at that time. So, yeah. But anyway, let's talk about his skills on the ball, because he was a player.
Yeah, for sure. Just an amazing player. And I think the way in which he kind of announced himself to me, you know, obviously he came into a very established team in the 106 team, but I would say quite arguably made them better when he was on the field. That goal against West Ham is the obvious way in which he announced himself for Reading. I remember, you know, back in those days, I was still keeping up with the scores on teletext. And this was like 2006, maybe. So they still had it around. But I remember seeing his name come up and, you know, being surprised. I hadn't really heard too much about him at that period in time. And again, I was young, so that might have been, you know, partly to do with it. But then, you know, seeing that goal on Match the Day later, you know, the old school way, see it first, or see the name on teletext and then see the goal later on Match of the Day. Yeah, like I had seen, like you kind of talked about, it opened up the Asian market in my eyes as well as for whatever it was doing for Seoul and for the club and tourism and stuff like that. But obviously the Japan and South Korea World Cup that had been a few years earlier was like a big point in sort of like opening up like my knowledge of that as well. And this was just kind of exciting to continue that and kind of continued like a love of other Asian and Japanese and South Korean players, you know, primarily playing in the European leagues. So yeah, just a really great player. The goal against West Ham is the one to go and watch really, if you're looking for one particular highlight. And one of the, a player that was somehow able to come in and make the 106 team even better. So yeah, Seol Ki-hyun.
Stunning play. And if anyone is interested, you know, maybe younger fans listen to this that weren't able, weren't fortunate enough to see him play live, just go on YouTube and just type his name in and Reading FC goals, because he scored some absolute screamers at they were so good they were almost accidental, certainly in that first Premier League season. And as Ross said, you know, we didn't do too much in terms of adding to that 106 team, but he was like the marquee signing, if you like, and he really, really kind of chipped in, and he was a very, very good player, very underrated as well.
And the last thing I'll say about him, I believe, so you can also watch Sol in the 2002 World Cup. He played in, I think he started most of the games for South Korea that World Cup. I don't know, my guys, it was 22 years ago. But he is the, I'm not going to check this, but I know he was nominated. So he is probably the only Reading player to have ever been nominated for the Ballon d'Or. He wasn't nominated for it while he was with Reading. He was nominated for it in 2002. But I don't know if we've had another player who's been nominated for that.
No, I don't. I mean, someone out there will go, yeah, there was this player or whatever, but I don't think so.
Right,
fun fact for you, the World Cup in 2002 was the only World Cup I've ever watched every single game live. Of a World Cup tournament, or any tournament, actually. Every single game I watch live. Even the ones that were on like split channels and stuff, because I was on study leave, I was doing my A levels. So I was able to
That's commitment right there, though, honestly.
Mate, honestly, it was fantastic.
You were on it.
Great World Cup, very underrated World Cup. So
I agree. Great World Cup. Okay. Great game too. But
anyway, rounds off your midfield of three. What else you got? Did it cut out again?
It's being crap, isn't it? Yeah, Riverside's being shit. You just asked me for my my front three.
I can do that bit again.
Yeah, roll that bit real quick.
So that rounds off your midfield three. Let's talk about your forward men, your strikers.
Yes. All right. Width and pace. Width and pace are very much the name of the game here. And then there's a sort of classic forward to complement them both. So we like I said, 4-2-3-1, 4-1-4-1. So we got a sort of left and right forward, and then a striker. So for the left and right forward, I've gone for Yaku Mate on the right. Obviously a fantastic player, came with a bunch of great memories for Reading, and a load of great social media content as well. I've gone for Mo Barrow on the left. I think underrated player in Reading history, and I'll defend that if I need to. But we'll see. You don't feel so good about him, so that's good.
Is the next
I'll make you feel better immediately.
Is the next player Joseph Mendes?
You're right. Joseph Mendes. No. I've gone for Kevin Doyle. Striker. I think that's the obvious choice. But Kevin Doyle is the first Reading player I'd loved. He was the first game I went to, he scored the goals. The first time I watched us on Sky, I think it was us against Spurs, maybe in the first Premier League season, and he scored the goals then that won the game for us too. So yeah, no, Kevin Doyle is just like, he was the striker. He was the main man. When I started watching Reading, obviously I know Kitson and Lita were around then, and Noel Hunt was starting his run in the team as well. Shane Long, but no, Kevin Doyle is the man out of all of those guys for me. Mo Barrow, Kevin Doyle.
I don't think you need to say anything more on Kevin Doyle. I think he. He will be there or thereabouts with well, I say most. I would imagine most generations of Reading fans would have him there or thereabouts within their kind of 11, really. Let's talk a little bit about Mo Barrow, because he looking at your list, you know, Estevez is controversial, but I get it. Mo Barrow. Don't see it, but it's not my team. So you're
just confused.
Yeah, just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't know. Go on. Why?
We need, there was a period, there's a temptation, let's start with that, with the fact that Reading need a left winger right now to just say, oh, just go and get some pace. And Reading have a little bit of a lack of pace right now in the team. They can build, you know, faster or slower, but I would say we've just got pretty speedy player athletes rather than particularly quick front line, you know, straight line runners or anything like that. Mo Barrow was very speedy in a straight line. Don't ask him to turn corners because that could go wrong. But he could really run in a straight line. I just enjoy players who are very direct. And Mo Barrow was very direct. I think that goal, you know, against Ipswich is the obvious quintessential Mo Barrow moment. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy that he stumbles over the ball about 2 to 3 times in that particular exchange. But I just remember him linking well with Mate quite well, and that he was a player able to keep up with Mate. He obviously didn't have the same strength profile or anything like that. But yeah, he just scored some important goals for Reading and was he was somewhat fun to watch during a pretty boring system period for Reading, right? We were kind of playing like a Stam sort of thing, or coming out of that era, I would say, and still playing quite a slow sort of setup. Mm-hmm. But Barrow was never slow. He was always, you know, running like a man with his head cut off. So yeah, maybe there are some other choices that I could go for, but I wanted to set the tone with my 11, that this should be Colt players of interest to you specifically. And so I've gone for Mo Barrow. But again, I think there's some Jose Gomez bias in my team here.
Again, most people listening to this will not need any particular reason from you to kind of justify Mate. I mean, he wouldn't make my 11. Mm-hmm. I can understand to a point, you know, why you've chosen him. Just want to flip the question though. Do you think he could still do a job in this current Reading team in this setup with Sellers as his manager?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Oh yeah. Yeah. No, the best thing would be that you get like mirror mode Mate, and he can play on the left side, but he can play Aziz over there as well if you really want to, even though you're missing out on the cutting inside with his foot. No, yeah, Mate would still get into this team and do well, in my opinion. And because he has so much energy, you know, I think he'd really get on with that whole pressing system. But then again, I mean, like Aziz has actually been pretty good in that regard. I mean, all of his pressing stats check out pretty nicely. So, you know, maybe that's the kind of winger that we actually need in this team. But for me, Mate would still make it. Yeah, I just love that player, man. Like, good attitude, good energy, good work rate on the field. Scored 4 goals against Luton once, which was pretty funny. Just a hugely enjoyable player. I think a lot of the players that I've got here are players that are just fun to watch or do something a little bit exciting. You know, when you watch tons and tons of football, you're waiting for someone who stands out a little bit, and certainly for like a favorites 11 again, those are the kind of players that are going to stick out.
I know it wasn't part of the package, the stipulation, if you like, when we were doing this, but who would you get to manage this team?
Yeah, that's a good question. I have a really soft spot for Paunovic. I know that it ended really poorly with him. I think he was a good guy. And I think that he got us, he helped some players to start playing it and thinking about their time on the pitch as a role rather than a particular position or something like that. He helped lots of different players to sort of improve, and also he helped a lot of players to play in different positions from their I would say Pauno played players out of position all the time, but players played better out of position under Pauno than I've seen them play
under out of position under different managers, if that makes sense. I know that sounds a little bit silly because Dorsett's been playing at left back all season for Ruben Sellers, but I just think that Pauno is very good at communicating what parts of a player's skill set could benefit each position on the pitch. And yeah, I just really have a soft spot for him for whatever reason. So I guess Pauno.
Okay. So that's your 11 then. So Martinez, Jordan Obita, Tyler Bindon, Matt Miazga, Thomas Estevez, Jem Karachan, John Swift, Sol Kikyun, Mo Barrow, Yaku Mate, and Kevin Doyle. Managed, of course, by Veljko Paunovic.
Right.
Good team.
When you say it out loud like that, there's like 10 changes I want to make, but you know, we'll let the other people that we're having in for the series come and tell me why I'm wrong.
Listen, it's going to be interesting. Like, you know, you've done the hardest bit, which is starting first, right? And you know, right. I'm sort of there, but I'm not quite there yet with mine. But look, you know, the next guest we have on is going to be really interesting, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And you know, when these go up live, you know, I don't think we're gonna drop them all together. I think we're gonna do them one by one, kind of as they come out.
No, we'll do it as a series.
Are you gonna do it as a series? Okay, I'll shut up then. Fine. So when you when you listen to it, you know, feel free to to challenge, to chuck us in, you know, to kind of say actually I agree with this or not, because we want to hear, you know, it's a discussion. We've got time. We've got 3 months to kill it. Do you know what I mean? So
right, exactly. This is like, where are my Barrow boys at? Bring me my Barrow boys. I'm sure they're out there.
He, Ross has you know, staking a claim or stuck a claim or whatever it is for Mo Barrow. So, like if you're in defence of Mo Barrow, let him know. If you're not, you know, who else would you pick? That's the beauty of this. So I hope you've enjoyed.
It's going to be like 2019 all over again. My inbox is going to be full of pelters over Mo Barrow.
Exactly,
I can't wait.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I hope you've enjoyed episode one. We've got plenty more of these to come. So it's going to be very, very exciting to listen to these back and kind of, you know, for you guys to sort of comment on what you think. So yeah, Ross, thank you so much for choosing an interesting team, which I'd expect nothing less from, you know. There are some definite...
No worries, setting the tone.
Some definite maybes in there for me as well. So, well, join us next time for episode 2 of the Reading FC Iconic 11. When we'll be talking to someone else about the...
someone else. Maybe even you. Who knows?
Maybe we'll even me. I've got to work out where I'm going to go in the series, really. But yeah, I've got some wets in mind. So, thank you for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. More to come in this series. We will see you next time on the Iconic 11 Reading FC version.